This is Sunday morning worship for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, July 3rd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to prepare your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 66. Rejoice with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like a overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you, you may be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the sixth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. One who has taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And the gospel reading is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe away against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Today's gospel reading is a warning about danger, but perhaps it is not the danger that we're expecting. Today, Jesus sends out the 72 in 36 pairs to go to all the towns and villages that Jesus himself is about to visit. This must have been most of Galilee and Judea. Their mission is pretty simple. They are going to tell the people in those towns that Jesus is about to arrive. The 72 are doing the advertising. I suppose it would be like when the circus was coming to town, or some other big show. You have to tell people what's coming so they can get ready, like buying tickets, asking to get off work, finding a babysitter, and so on. If the circus just showed up without any advance warning, almost nobody is going to come. So there has to be some preparation. There has to be some kind of warning. So it is for Jesus as well. Before he comes, there has to be some kind of advertisement so that there will be a crowd ready to hear him when he gets there. Otherwise, Jesus would hardly even have anyone to talk to when he shows up. This is what the 72 disciples are sent out to do. They are sent with this mission, but they are also sent with a warning. I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves, Jesus says. This mission will be dangerous. You know what wolves do to lambs, so be prepared for the worst. You might think this is the message of today's gospel, to be on guard for persecution and hatred and violence. Be prepared to be treated the way that a wolf treats a lamb. But that's not quite the case. If we look a little closer, we see that the danger Jesus speaks of is different. Not hatred and violence, but something else. We forget, maybe, that wolves don't really hate lambs. They love lambs. They love them a little too much. And I think that's the danger that Jesus warns against in today's reading. As we were saying, the 72 disciples sent out today have a mission to prepare the way for Jesus' coming. They are supposed to alert the people to the fact that Jesus is coming. This is our mission, too. It's not just the 72 that are sent out, because Jesus is not just coming to the 36 villages in Galilee and Judea. Jesus is also coming here, to America, to Kentucky, to Louisville and Taylorsville. And like he did in today's gospel, Jesus has also sent out messengers to warn people that he is coming. You are one of these messengers. That's why you are where you are. You serve as a witness that Jesus is on his way to where you are now. And when he comes, His kingdom will come with him. Jesus is coming, whether anyone likes it or not, and some will not like it. Some will like it, but many will not. Jesus tells the 72 that some people will accept their teachings, but some people will also reject the message. Some will be uninterested in Jesus' arrival. Others will be openly hostile. Some might even become violent towards the messengers. When Jesus tells about lambs among wolves and carrying no money bags, knapsacks, or sandals, I imagine that the 72 are thinking about this kind of danger. Take no money bag or knapsack because it will get stolen. Or worse, you will be slaughtered like a lamb. At first glance, it sounds like a terrible thing to be a disciple of Jesus in the world. To the 72, it must have sounded as though violence is to be expected. So too, many of us Christians today expect hatred from the world. And in fact, there is plenty of hatred and violence shown towards Christians in the modern world, just as many expect. But that's not really the whole story. In addition to the sending of the 72, today's gospel also gives us an account of the results of their mission. And things turn out differently than how we might expect based on the warnings. The 72 report back with great joy. Their mission was a great success. Instead of rejection, the 72 seem to mostly find acceptance. Furthermore, they also discover that they have great power. As messengers of Jesus, even the demons must obey them. As it turns out, they had nothing to fear if they were afraid of violence. Everything turned out great. And if we are honest with ourselves, the church has suffered very little in the world, all things considered. Yes, Christians were thrown to the lions in ancient Rome, and Christians face persecution in China and in Muslim countries. But these persecutions come because the world views Christianity as a threat. These acts of violence come out of fear, and they are right to be afraid. Because the church ultimately represents death to the world. In America, we complained about the secular humanists and the trans rights people and the atheists, but we are a much greater danger to them than they are to us. For almost 2,000 years, the church has been the dominant power in the Western world, and that is not going to change anytime soon. And yet, all the same, we are lambs among wolves. There is real danger here. The danger that Jesus warns about is not something to be taken lightly. It is something real, but it is not the danger, perhaps, that we've been looking for. It's a different kind of danger. As we said, the 72 come back with joy at their success, but Jesus is not impressed. Instead of congratulations, Jesus gives them more warnings. Do not rejoice in this, your power and success, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is what he says. The danger is that the 72 will forget what they were sent to do. That's also the danger for us as well. Perhaps the 72 thought their mission was to convince people to accept Jesus, or to drive out demons, or to do miracles. Maybe we think our mission is to bring Christian values to the world, or to overturn Roe versus Wade, or to make America a so-called Christian country. Maybe we think our mission is to grow our churches, to get more members, to raise more money. Perhaps we think our mission is to grow the church in general on earth, to make the world a Christian place. Christians have always or often been confused about these things. Don't we want all these sorts of things to happen? Don't we want to get more people to be Christians? Don't we want to have a more Christian society? Perhaps we do, but this isn't what we're called to do. This is not the mission of the 72, and it is not our mission either. What was the mission, actually? Simply put, the mission was, tell them I am coming. This is what Jesus says to the 72. That's what he says to you as well. Interestingly, the 72 are to deliver the same message to the people, regardless of whether they accept them or not. The message is the same to both those that accept them and to those who reject them. The kingdom of God has come near. That's what you say to everyone, whether they accept or reject. To those that accept the 72, and therefore Jesus, that message becomes a blessing. To those who reject the 72, it is a curse. But either way, the acceptance or rejection of the message is not the business of the 72. Their job is merely to deliver the news. Maybe they forgot this when they rejoice in their supposed success. Maybe we forget this too when we see the church grow, or when we fight and succeed. We might be fooled into thinking that this is what we came for, to get these successes, to get these new converts, to win these court cases, and so on. We might think that success means gaining acceptance by the world, or overcoming it in court or in society. But if you think this way, you have failed. You have forgotten the message and the mission. You have fallen trap to the greater danger. The mission is merely to tell that the kingdom of God is near. We are not here to build the kingdom. We are not here to build a kingdom for Christ on earth. We are merely here to announce its coming. And when it comes, it will have nothing to do with church attendance or court cases or school prayer or anything like that. When the kingdom comes, it will come by itself, not by our efforts. Our job is merely to say that it's on its way. The danger is to forget what kingdom we belong to. The danger is to think that the kingdom is about what we are doing here, about how we are building and succeeding and winning victories. But that's not what it is. The kingdom that comes is not a kingdom on earth, not even a kingdom that has much to do with church buildings or church attendance or anything like that. The kingdom instead that we belong to is the kingdom of God. And it comes, as we should know, but sometimes forget, it comes without our effort. It is built without our hands. All we are called to do is to witness that Jesus, the King of this kingdom, is on his way, and he is very near. All we give thanks for is that we are already citizens of this kingdom. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. This is what Jesus says to the 72. This is what he says to you as well. Rejoice that you are a part of the kingdom of heaven, and rejoice in that only. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. O Lord of the harvest, at your Son's instruction, we pray that you would continue to send laborers into your vineyard, that the plentiful harvest may be gathered into the peace of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, in this sin-sick world, nations engage in violence, injustice, and wrongdoing. Give peace, we pray, to all nations, that all people may enjoy the comforting goodness of your will being done on earth. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who make, administer, and judge our laws, and provide opportunities for your gospel to be proclaimed without hindrance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all compassion, in your Son you have borne the burdens of all mankind. Hear now our prayers on behalf of those who are suffering among us, for Shirley Rothman, Ellen Mueller, Mary Hurdle, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Belladonis, Kristen Sykes, Courtney Cooker, John Diss, Elizabeth, Terry Sheldon, Shirley Fabozzi, and Alan Stroud, and also Nina, John, Mary, Joe, Doug, Nick, Art, Monica, Don, Sandy, Monica, Cindy, Gary, Margaret, Gina, Chris, and Elizabeth. According to your gracious will, restore these your servants with strength and healing now, and grant them patience to await the resurrection on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. How awesome are your deeds, O Lord! You have planted us and directed us to pray that you would send workers into your vineyard. You have answered that prayer that your Son and His Church, through your Son and His Church. As your kingdom draws near each day, teach us to boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that your word, as becomes it, may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.